Better Advantage. I welcome you all for being on here with us this morning. And as always, we have an open forum. If anything you guys want to talk about, get help on, throw out ideas for others. I always have an agenda set up to visit about. But if we head off in a different direction to help guys out with what's on their mind, then that's always okay too. So I can just see by the list that we've got some experienced guys on here that can throw out some good ideas. If there's anything you want help on or different ideas on, I know we've got a handful of people on here that write a lot of business and can definitely help you out with that. So on my agenda today was to kind of get more into actual final expense sales presentations. I think last week we talked more about appointment setting and door knocking and things like that. But I wanted to get more into actual final expense presentation. So more of, you know, after you're at the kitchen table, things headed down that direction. So, but before we do that, does anybody have anything they want to throw out? Anything specific? Any questions, scenarios they ran into in this week or the past couple weeks that they'd like to get help on?
Yeah, Matt, I got a so regarding internal, I guess not internal replacement, but like let's say a policy holder had a policy holder in the last number of years. You didn't know this, they didn't tell you, you rewrote it. I didn't realize that, I guess, America, they dock you the amount of, months
It's pretty much prorated, and America's probably the most stingy on that. I think theirs is like a four-year look back, so to speak. So if that client had a policy in the past 4 years, pretty much commission-wise, what they treat it as is a reinstatement. So if that client had a policy that was in force for over a year and they canceled it within the last 4 years, an AmeriCo policy, obviously, then you won't get any first-year commissions on it. Let's say they had a policy for 9 months and they canceled it a year ago. The only first-year commissions you're going to get are what are left. So they had it for nine, you're going to get 3 months of what is left here. AmeriCo's probably the stingiest on that. They'll let you write a new policy. They don't require it to be reinstated and back premiums or anything like that, but they're not going to pay out first year commissions again if it's been done within the last 4 years.
Yeah, that was the case. So they're going to pay me six. I didn't realize she had a policy, like you were saying. So, do the other companies, are they similar that we work with, or are they more favorable to anything?
You know, most of them are more favorable, and a lot of them, to be honest with you, don't track that as well as AmeriCo does either. Security National Life, to my knowledge, I haven't seen them pay much attention to that at all. You know, because I just don't think they have the process in place to identify and to track that. But you know, yeah. And if I were you, I'd go back and rewrite it with somebody else. You're not into doing charity work and working for free, and neither am I. I mean, I love helping people, but I certainly wouldn't do it if it was pro bono. I know that much. And I know chances are you can probably go get her just as good rate, if not a couple bucks cheaper with somebody else. So it shouldn't be that tough to do, but, if I were you, I wouldn't hesitate to go back and place it somewhere else.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, like, you know, sometimes we just run into those and we don't know anything about it when we're doing it, because the client doesn't bring it up. So it's after the fact when we find out.
Yeah. I guess a smile on her face when she was, wasn't that she was happy to get the insurance. She recognized the fact that she had that company before.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. It probably looked like a big positive to you at the time. She's like, oh, AmeriCo, I like them. Yeah, let's do it. You know, it's because you had one before. But yeah, if I were you, I wouldn't hesitate to go back and write it somewhere else. Something else to kind of toss up. I don't know how many of you have been using the SNL e-app or the SNL online application, because once they come into the system, we can't tell if it was a paper app submitted or the e-app. So I really don't know how many guys are using it. But it just, since Ryan was talking there, it just made me bring up that I was talking with him yesterday, and it's definitely still got some glitches in it. I think, Ryan, you said yesterday you wrote one on the e-app first thing in the morning, and it was through the silk, and then the next one crashed on you, and you had to go back to the paper app, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and that's, I can tell you, that's pretty much been my experience with it so far, too. When it's working good, it's a really nice, quick process. And when it decides it wants to foul up on you, it just loses everything. So the times when I have used that, and probably what I'd recommend if you do want to try to use it, it is helpful if you're in a situation. If you're in a situation where you think somebody can get qualified for, say, preferred with Security National Life, but you're not positive about it, and you want to know before you leave that house, that e-app is good in that situation because it will give you an instant answer. So it's definitely worth trying. Then my advice is that if you are going to use that e-app, when they give you, or when you ask for date of birth, social, that kind of information, go ahead and jot it down on paper, as you're putting it into the SNL e-app. That way, if it does foul up on you and you have to revert back to the paper app, you've got all that information. You don't have to ask for it again. But with the SNL paper app being so quick and so simple, that even if you start out down the e-app path and it doesn't pan out for you, or the app has a glitch, or the website has a glitch in it or whatever, and you have to revert back to the paper app, it's not that big of a deal, because like I said, that paper app so quick in the first place. But it will be, it'll be a nice process once they get it all figured out. But they've still got some work to do on it. So anybody have anything else they want to throw out there? Any questions, concerns?
Real quick, also on that EF, Matt, is it, if they don't disclose all their medications, or how does that work for the final decision? Would they still push it through or put it on hold further underwriting if they see something we don't list? Or
yeah, as of right now, since they're still beta testing it, it's not officially available to everybody. Sorry, I'm going to mute that. So if you guys have the ability to mute your own phones, it's actually helpful because we get a lot of background noise in there. But as of right now, since it's still in beta testing and it's not available to everybody, so even though it gives you a instant decision, so it tells you that that you're approved, it's still going over an underwriter's desk. So they're actually doing like a double check on them right now, just simply because they're not 100% positive that underwriting engine, I mean, it's still in development, that it's giving it the answers that they need to get out of it. So there is a possibility that, at this point in the game, that you could get a, yes, you're approved for preferred. And then once, tomorrow when an underwriter has it come across their desk, they say, no, that shouldn't have been preferred. So that's still a possibility right now. I have not seen any that were marked approved and then that they pulled back on, but I know it's a possibility. I had one, back before the holidays, that it said approved preferred on the e-app. And then like a day later, I just got an email that said, hey, we need to know why they're taking this medication. So they didn't decline it. I mean, it's still issued just fine, but that's what tipped me off to the fact that they're still actually have underwriters looking at those. Now, once that process gets refined and they feel comfortable that that underwriting engine is doing what it needs to do, then that won't be the case. I mean, once that engine says you prefer, you know, underwriter will never lay their eyes on it, even if it'll get issued, sent out, and everything's good to go. But in the meantime, there's still a possibility. And if anybody wants a link, you know, you have for the SNLE app, you have your own personalized link that you, it's all actually web-based. It's not an app that you use. It's online, but you have your own personalized link. If anybody wants to try out that SNLE app or even just take a look at it, drop me an email. I'll send you out your own personalized link and you can play with it or submit an app through or whatever you'd like to do. Just kind of a quick point of comparison between the SNLE app and the AmeriCo app, which to my knowledge, those are the only two out there right now that, and not just with our carriers, with any carriers that have given you a true point of sale yet decision. I think Equitable might have one, which is actually just a redo of the AmeriCo one. But you know, there's others that have an electronic application process where you put the information and submit it electronically, and then it goes through underwriting. But as far as pulling a script check, or in AmeriCo's case, pulling a script check and an MIB in the background, to my knowledge, AmeriCo and Security National Life have that cornered right now. As a comparison between those two, Security National Life takes probably 5 minutes if you have all that information, to where AmeriCo's is probably more like 15 minutes. Security National Life's, the signature process, at least right now, is still just a matter of the client typing in their name. There's no actual PIN signing a signature. They type in their name for verification of the signature. So whereas AmeriCo's will actually take you out of the application into, you know, a VeriSign, to where they sign on your iPad. Or if you're doing, you know, the AmeriCo, you don't have to be face-to-face for it. The Security National Life, you need to actually be present with the client. The AmeriCo, you can do remotely or even across state lines as long as you're licensed in both states. But then the process for that is, for the AmeriCo, if you're not face-to-face, you go ahead and start filling it out on the computer. You know, maybe they're on the phone with you, you're filling their information into the computer, and then when it comes time to sign, you email them the link to sign. So if they're sitting in front of their computer, you're in front of your computer, you email out a link, they click on it, sign with their mouse on their computer, hit submit, it updates on your screen, you can finish filling everything else out, and you're going to have to email them another link at the end. They sign on their mouse or on their computer with their mouse, it comes back to you, and you can hit submit. So the AmeriCo can be done that way. And then obviously, if you want to write an AmeriCo Eagle, you're not face-to-face and they don't have a computer, they always have the phone process too, which is just like the Royal Neighbors phone process. You get on a three-way call, they'll conduct everything, get voice signatures, and you're good to go. So, but the America, the Security National Life e-app is definitely more simplified and a quicker process than the AmeriCo e-app is, at least at this point it is anyway. Anybody else have any questions, anything they want to throw out there? I'll actually throw out, I was working with a new agent yesterday, and he was lucky enough to, in his first sales call, find a typo in the Security National Life drug guide that I never knew was there. And but just as a note to you, that if you look at the drug, in the Security National Life drug guide, if you look at the drug atenolol, it actually says hypertension and graded. Well, that's a typo. Hypertension's never graded. It's always preferred. So just to throw that out there, if you happen to run across that, so you know that, that hypertension would be preferred with Security National Life and not graded. But they're aware of that, and they're changing it in the next edition. So thought I'd make you aware of that if you happen to run across it. So. All right, well, we'll head towards a sales presentation topic. And again, as we get into this, if there's anything specific that you want to talk about more or any questions that you have, don't hesitate to interrupt. I will mute everybody in the meantime here just because there's a lot of feedback in the background. But just give me a holler. I'll unmute it as we go along. So you have any questions, you can speak up. So, as far as the sales presentation, again, making the assumption that you're after the fact, you've gotten to the kitchen table, whatever warm-up that you decide to do is out of the way and you're actually ready to start presenting. As far as the warm-up goes, you know, a lot of people have different styles as far as that goes. I know myself, I do very little warm-up. I mean, I'm usually getting into a presentation. You know, once I've stepped in the front door, it's usually a matter of 2 to 3 minutes before I start into a presentation. Obviously, there's a lot of leeway in that, in what you find your style is. And then also, depending on the situation, how much warm-up you need, think that client needs. You know, whether they seem very cold and untrusting to begin with, you're obviously going to have to step back and take a little more time before you get into a presentation. In contrast to if they open the door and say, yeah, you know, I was waiting for you to come, excited to visit with you, you know, whatever it may be, but you'll have to make an individual decision there. But I simply can tell you that final expense in general, there's not a lot of warm-up that's needed. Yes, it varies from client to client, but in general, there's not a lot of warm-up that's needed. Kind of touching back on what we got into last week as far as, you know, setting up your schedule and, you know, when are you setting your appointments, things like that. And if you are setting appointments, you know, on the hour, every hour, then obviously you a half hour warm-up or, you know, sitting down and spending that much time before you get into a presentation is not going to work very well with your schedule. So as far as the presentation itself, I mean, one of the first things that I do is sit down at the table is, again, show them the lead card that they'd sent in. And that's definitely, you know, geared towards most of our sales. Most of our productive agents are working direct mail lead cards. So if you have a lead card and that's what you're working, you want to get that back in front of them when you're sitting at the table in a hurry. A couple of reasons. One, it brings them back to the topic at hand. You know, you sent this card into us and it says life insurance, so you know why I'm here. Two, it's got your signature on it. So, you know, take away that thought of, you know, I'm here trying to push something on you or I'm here trying to sell you on something, because, again, I'm just going to remind you, I'm here because this card right here with your signature on it, you sent it in and you requested me to be here. So some agents take the approach of actually reading the card back to them. Not a bad idea at all. I did that for a number of years, and I think it's a very good way to get the presentation, get the meeting started off on the right foot. Especially if you're a new agent starting out and you're not extremely comfortable with your presentation and your sales process yet, that's a good place to start. Read the card back to them, gets everything started down the right path. After that, you know, the first thing that I ask, absolutely, unequivocally, every presentation, every kitchen table I'm sitting in front of, the first thing that I ask is, what do you have in place already as far as final expenses go? And, you know, for a lot of reasons. One, it tells us where the client is in the process. It might lead to the fact that they're totally clueless and you got to really step back from square one, explain where we're coming from, and, you know, what we're going to talk about today. Two, it tells us if they're starting from scratch, you know, they don't have any kind of coverage in place, or they have something and they're trying to add coverage to it, or they have what they think is a perfect solution in place already. So you're more of a replacement type situation where, you know, the only way that something's going to happen today is if you find them a better program, whether that's saving them money, whether that's getting more benefits than they have, whether that's, you know, getting them whole life when they had term, or whether that's getting them a carrier they're more comfortable with, whatever it is, it kind of tells us where we're coming at from that point. And, you know, I think something that's key also is, no matter what the answer is to that question, when I say, what do you have in place for final expenses already? No matter what the answer is to that question, the next words that come out of my mouth are perfect. That's exactly what our program is designed for. And so it doesn't matter if they say I have, you know, nothing in place. Well, that's fine. Perfect. You know, that's what our program's designed for. You got to start somewhere, right? Well, I'm here to help you walk through that and make sure that when we're done, you've got something in place to make sure that your funeral expenses are taken care of. If it's, I have, you know, I've got a $7,000 policy with whoever, perfect. That's exactly what our program is designed for. You know, a lot of times we visit with people and they have something that they set up years ago and it's not enough to cover what funeral expenses are. Or they have something set up years ago and they want to make sure that they add a little bit extra onto it so that the kids, you know, have enough money to take care of bills around the house, food for a family get together, all those things. Or, you know, perfect. That's exactly what our program's designed for. You know, a lot of people got into programs that aren't the best ones out there. They're paying too much for their coverage, or they have coverage that's going to kick them out when they turn 75 years old, and they have coverage that's going to get more expensive as they get older. So, like I said, regardless of what comes out of their mouth, the next thing that comes out of mine is perfect. That's exactly what our program is designed for. And you'll find that as you get going through the presentation and if you start to encounter objections, whether during the presentation or at the close or whatever it is, if you approach those objections first off with perfect, that's what our program is designed for, it's gonna lend you a lot more favorable results than coming out trying to dispose of those objections right away. So for instance, as you get going in the presentation, it's like, you know, my budget's tight, I don't know where that's gonna fit in my budget. Well, perfect, that's exactly what our program is designed for. Because if you're living month to month right now, there is absolutely no way that you're going to save $8,000 between now and the time you pass away. So that's exactly what our program is designed for, because it's the only way, with your budget being what it's being, it's the only way that you're ever going to have the peace of mind of knowing that things are taken care of. If you can start right now and save all you want, you're not going to have enough money for funeral by the time you pass. Perfect. You know, if it's, I need to talk to the kids, you know, perfect. That's what our program's designed for. We realize that most people want to talk to the kids. You know, you told me that your daughter, Jessica, helps you take care of all this. Why don't you get her on the phone real quick and we can run through everything with her. And, that way, if she has questions, I can answer questions for her. So, and we can talk about objections a lot, either later on or a different call or however you want. But just kind of as a general note, that whatever pops up, if you let them know that that's why we're here and that's what our program is designed for, going to give you a favorable result. So, the next thing that I ask after I ask that, and I know where we stand, what they have in place already, the next question is always, have you had to take care of any funerals lately? Do you know what they're running these days? And this is a point in the presentation, probably the most critical point in the presentation, where if they have something to talk about, you better well shut up and listen. And I take control of every presentation from the start, but this is the point in there where I'm going to shut my mouth and let them roll on and talk. Because a lot of times, once you ask that question, the stage is set, the problem is presented, they're going to start making the sale for you. So, you know, have you had to take care of any funerals lately? Or where are they running these days? You know, usually it's going to roll into my husband, my brother, my daughter, my dad, whoever it is, passed away, you know, last fall, and his funeral ran $12,000. I couldn't believe it. You know, I never thought a funeral would cost that much. And, you know, he only had $5,000 in insurance, so the rest of us kids had to pull it together and figure out how we were going to cover it. Again, when you ask that question, usually they're going to start making a sale for you, telling you how expensive funerals are and the experience they know of who had that funeral left in their lap and, you know, how hard it was for them to do it. So, as long as they do that, then, like I said, I'm going to, you know, that's perfect. That's what our program's designed for. You know, we're going to allow you to set something up so you have the peace of mind of knowing that your kids aren't going to be in that same exact situation that you were in or that your sister was in or whoever it is. The other side of that, if they don't, and, you know, you have some clients like, no, I have no idea what a funeral runs. I haven't had to take care of it. I don't know. And then I just let them know, you know, try to be an authority of some sort at that point and let them know, you know, okay, well, we get estimates every year from the National Funeral Directors Association. And right now the average in the state of Missouri here is $8,327. Now, that's just an average. Obviously, if you try to be extremely conservative and keep things as simple as possible, you know, you might be able to get that down to $6,000. And on the other end, you know, if your kids start upgrading the casket and adding services and extra flowers and everything else, they'll probably be up at $10,000 and $12,000. But Mary, I think you can agree with me that it doesn't matter if we're talking about $6,000 or if we're talking about $12,000, that is a lot of money. Either way, it's a lot of money. And you're usually going to get a head nod and yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, my kids can't cover that. I know my kids don't have the $12,000 in the bank. But that's the way every presentation that I've ever done in final expense starts. What do you have in place already? Who's going to be responsible for everything? We haven't got that. The next one, who's going to be responsible for everything? So, you know, when you pass, who's going to take care of everything? Well, it's my daughter, it's my son, it's my brother, whoever it is. Once that question is asked, then that gives you the guidance of where you're going to center that presentation towards from here on out. So you know that when you talk about relieving financial burden, it's relieving it off of her daughter, Mary, or whoever it is. So, but those opening questions always set the stage. What do you have in place already? Have you had to take care of any funerals lately? Who's going to be in charge of things when you pass? And I've also found that those questions, for myself, when I sell anyway, those questions, those are really my warm-up. You know, because I haven't tried to present anything to them yet. I'm not trying to qualify yet. I'm not trying to sell them on anything. That actually serves as my warm-up. So that's why I don't mind getting into those things within a minute, within 2 minutes from when we sit down at the table, because that actually serves as my warm-up. That gets people opened up and talking about things. And then also gives us the information we need to proceed on with the sale, what direction we're going to head with it, and who we're going to center that presentation towards. So I'll pause for a second, take a breath, and what kind of questions, concerns, anybody want to add anything to that? Mr. Stoley, I see you're on with us. You want to add anything to that? How does that differ from what you do?
You know, Matt, what you just said gives me different ammunition. So my presentation is different. You know, it gels with the people I see. You know, so it doesn't always include the same phrases or whatnot. But, I mean, what you pointed on is exactly what I try to mention. But I like your presentation a lot. I think it's a great foundation, you know?
Yeah. Does anybody else want to add anything different that they do? We all know that there's way more than one way to skin a cat. And so I do appreciate anybody that wants to add anything, contribute, or just share their insight on it.
Hey, Matt, I do have an observation. Mine's just a little bit different from yours, and this pertains to my single male prospects, especially the single male prospects who think they got it all figured out. Typically the work, when I try to find out who's going to take care when they die of their final expenses, I typically use the word, so who's going to get stuck with your bills? And so typical, am I muted or unmuted?
You're unmuted. You're good.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, typically I try to throw that at my single male prospects to let them know that somebody's going to get stuck with your bill. Do you want to stick your daughter with the bill? Those are guys that are pretty arrogant, though, if you will. So that's just a little difference I use in my presentation.
Can you back up on that, Greg? Because I was trying to mute everybody else. Now, what is it exactly you said to the single male prospects?
Well, typically when I'm with a single male prospect, and sometimes, well, you know, I really don't need it so much. And so I said, well, okay, when you die, when we all die, when you die, who's gonna have to be responsible for taking care of your final expenses and paying your last doctor's bills and possibly the ambulance costs and even cremation if that's what you want to go to? So who's going to be responsible for that? Oh, probably my daughter. I said, so, did you really send this card in because you didn't want to stick your daughter with your bills? So I try to use the word stick or stuck. You don't want to stick them with your bills, do you? And they usually start looking inward at themselves. And I said, well, yeah, I think that's why I sent this in, because I don't want to stick them with my bills. So that typically, I kind of flush that out of the real reason why my single male clients may have sent it in.
Yeah, very good. And I think that's extremely important, is that somebody has to be identified. I mean, that's a fact that we make sure we have to get on the table, is that somebody's going to be responsible for this, because if we can't establish that, or if people show absolutely no regard to that, like, I don't care, you know, I don't even talk to my kids, give two shits about, you know, what they do or don't have or are going to have to pay. If we can't establish that, there's really, I mean, we get to a point to where there's really not a whole lot of point going on, you know, of moving forward in the presentation, because that is the basis. I mean, that's the building blocks of everything. And if we can't establish why that person wants to remove that risk, then we can't move forward. But yeah, you're right. The harder you can drive that point home and put a face with it, know who that person is that's getting stuck with that, so that's what sets the foundation for everything that we do. So anybody else want to add anything to that?
Yeah, Matt. Hi, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. So back to you were talking about objection. You know, I need to talk to my daughter or my kids or whatever, you know, and I've learned in a very short time that's just a stall tactic usually. And you say, well, let's get them on the phone. Well, my daughter's at work. Again, they're stalling. I mean, where would you go from there? Would you say, hey, let's write this application. You know, we have a free look period. That's a great time. You'll have the policy in your hand. That's a great time to review it with your daughter and you know, ask questions or another direction.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a last resort. Type of, you know, 30-day free look, you know, your daughter can look at it when it gets here, things like that. But I think, you know, what you said initially is on the right track. If there is another decision maker involved, whether it be the daughter or the kids or, you know, whatever it is, we have to be able to talk to them. And I think you're right. The first thing you want to do, the first thing I do, if it's I don't do anything without talking to my daughter, or my daughter takes care of all this, or whatever it is, then my first attempt is, let's get her on the phone. You know, well, okay, well, that's great. That's exactly what our program's designed for. You know, I can actually answer any questions that your daughter has. So if you would, please call her up right now. And then that way I can explain it to her. And then if she has questions, I can answer them for her. Because let's be honest, you know, if you talk with her tomorrow and you try to explain it to her, and then she asks you questions, you're not going to have the answers. So she's going to ask you, does this build cash value? Do Do you know the answer to that yet? Okay. She's going to ask you a lot of questions that you're not going to be able to answer. So if you get her on the phone right now, I can definitely explain it to her and answer any questions that she has. So that's my first course, you know. The next course would probably after that, get her on the phone and schedule an appointment where the three of us can sit down together. Even if you can't get her on the phone right now, then, well, what time does she get off work? She gets off at 5. Okay, well, how about tomorrow we meet over here at 6 o'clock? You can get her over here for that? Yeah, okay, well, let's do that. To get them involved is the absolute best course. Now, that being said, that is once we've established that that is the true objection, that they really aren't going to do anything without their daughters, okay, or they're really – their daughter is the one that makes the final say in that. Now, like you mentioned, a lot of times that's just a smokescreen. The true objection is maybe, I've got $62 in my checking account and I don't get paid till the third. I can't afford that this month. That's what I would say. No matter what objection you're hearing, that's the true objection 75% of the time. Whether it comes out of their mouth as, I don't care, I'm not interested, I don't need that, I need to talk to my daughter. No matter what comes out of their mouth, I'm fully convinced that 75% of the time, it's, I can't afford that today. So we have to do a little bit of digging and establishing what the true objection is before we move forward with any of those. Usually the first thing that I throw out with most objections, like I said, I'm thoroughly convinced that it's usually I can't afford it today. The first thing I throw out, so I've given quotes, I've made my first initial attempt at some sort of close. Which one of these works best for you? What level do you want to start at? And I get an objection. Usually the first thing that I throw out is, a couple other things I forgot to mention to you. One, you can always add on to this program in the future. So, for instance, say you have to start with a $5,000 benefit today. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's much better than skipping your kids with nothing. But let's say you have to start out with a $5,000 program today. Well, you can always add on to your program. So if you start with five and then, two or three years down the road, you give me a call and say, hey, let's bump that up to $8,000 or let's bump that program up to $10,000. You can always do that. Now, the other thing that's very important, I don't think I've told you this yet, but I think the other thing that's very important, you don't have to pay anything today on it. This program is actually designed so, we'll send in all your health information. They'll send you a policy in the mail. You don't have to make that first payment till either later this month or beginning of next month, whatever works out for you. So, you'll find that a lot of times when you throw that out, those other objections fade away. So you might get, I don't do anything without talking to my daughter. And then you let them know that they don't have to pay anything until Social Security comes in the third. And then all of a sudden, the daughter's opinion is not that important. So you don't have to pay anything until you get Social Security on the third. Oh, really? Okay, well, let's go ahead and do that $10,000 then. And you want to sit there and say, well, what happened to your daughter? I thought she was in charge of this. Obviously, you keep your mouth shut and move forward, but you'll find that that will clear a lot of those other objections. So I'm usually to that point with any objection before I start attacking that, what actually came out of their mind. Because that's what kind of helped me clarify that 75% of the time, it's really I can't afford it today. Or, I'm worried about how I would afford that and still buy groceries next week.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep. Anybody else have anything else they want to add to that? Okay. Just kind of moving forward, on the presentation part of it. Once we've kind of done that, what do you have in place? Have you had to take care of any funerals lately? Who's going to be in charge of things? Then my presentation part of it is just a very quick overview of what we have to offer, what our program looks like. And I'm not doing much there because I need to find out where they are health-wise and what I can get them qualified for before I can give them any more details. So we've established those other things, and I just say, okay, well, here, you know, our program is really simple. It's a true burial policy. It does not lock you into any specific funeral homes or services. You keep all your options open. Doesn't matter if you want to be buried or cremated. Doesn't matter what funeral home you want to use, where you want to end up at. What our program is going to do is pay out a cash benefit to your daughter Mary when you pass away. Okay? Now, we can do a benefit anywhere from $5,000 as a minimum up to $30,000 as a maximum. Okay? And it simply just allows you to pay in a little bit of money each month. And then when you pass away, it's going to pay out that cash benefit to your daughter. She can use it whatever it's needed for. And we do look at the final expenses as a whole. So we're not just looking of we're not just looking at how much do you owe the funeral director, but we're looking at the final expenses, at, such as how much do you owe the funeral director, you know, paying your final utility bills around the house, making sure Mary has enough money for food for a family get together. Any unpaid medical bills, you know, heck, what we also like to look at is, you know, obviously when you pass, Mary's going to have to take time off of work to settle your estate, plan your funeral, get your house cleaned out. We're also looking at making sure she just has money to take that time off of work and that she's not in a hole because of that. So that's my, I mean, just real quick, you know, here's what our program is. And then, like I said, our program is really simple. I say simple like three or four times. I do think people have a fear of, you know, what we're going to do is going to be very complicated, and this guy's going to want to pour over my finances and, you know, see what my income is and everything else. So I mentioned simple three or four times. You know, it's simple. It allows you to pay in a little bit of money each month. When you pass, it's going to pay off that benefit to your daughter. Okay. And like I said, that's all I do as far as telling them, you know, what our program is like. The next thing I do immediately after that is get into the health questions. I think that's important too, because if you start going out and saying it's a full and immediate benefit and, you know, making a bunch of promises, and then once you get into the health information, it's, you know, they're not qualifying for anything but guaranteed issue or whatever it is, then you have to backtrack on all those things. Which sets us down the wrong path. So I think if you can get into that health information quicker. So as far as the underwriting process goes, when we get into the health information, the first thing I do is my own set of health questions, which is very basic and at least shows me towards what products are going to qualify for. So some of you guys are going to vary on this because you keep your circle small, you only use a couple carriers, so your health is, okay, I know I'm going to pull the Royal Neighbors out, start asking the Royal Neighbors questions word for word. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Actually, for new agents, I recommend that's the way you go. Decide who your go-to carrier is, and when it comes time to decide what they're going to qualify for, get that app out or that worksheet out, start asking the questions, go until you hit a yes. And if you hit a yes and you need to look at plan B or C, then go that direction. But that's going to keep it simple for you and not get you bogged down with all, you know, different carriers and plans and everything else in your head. But I tell you where I'm at right now, I just say, all right, well, let me run through a few health questions with you to see what we can get you qualified for. I ask first, how's your health in general? Are you in pretty good health? Right away, people are going to talk. The seniors love to talk about their health. And that's true. It doesn't matter if it's great health or if it's horrible health. Seniors love to talk about their health. So if you just say, how's your health in general? Again, this is all part of my warm-up, because I throw an open-ended question out like that. That gives people, they want to talk. Either don't take no medication. Saw my doctor yesterday, said I got the heart of a 30-year-old. Or if it's, oh my God, it's horrible. I got this and that, and I went in for this, and it gets people to open up. They're going to talk to you and they're going to share things with you. Another thing that I do at this point is also establish a bank account, which is something that some agents struggle with because they think that they're being obtrusive, or when they throw it out there, do you have a bank account? People are turned off and think they're going to be scammed, and this agent's trying to get into their bank account. So I say, how's your health in general? And they can be 79, 82 years old. And I'll say, are you still working or are you retired? I always ask that question because that's how I get to the bank account without turning anybody off. So, 79-year-old lady, you're still working, you're retired. Oh no, I'm retired. Been retired for a long time. Okay. Are you just on Social Security then? Yep. Just on Social Security. All right. Do you use that green Direct Express debit card from Social Security? You'll either get a yes. Which if in that case, I'll say, okay, so do you have a checking or savings or just the debit card? Just the debit card. Okay. Well, I know where my options are smaller now as far as carriers go. Or if they don't use it, they'll usually say, huh, what are you talking about? Oh, you know, Social Security, the green Direct Express. Oh, do you have your own checking or savings? Yeah, well, I got a checking down at U.S. Bank. Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Some people use the Social Security debit card, and the reason I was asking, some of our carriers will accept it, some of them won't. So I get that out on the table right there, too, because just as important as the health information and deciding what direction we're going to go and what carriers we're going to use. So I've established that. My next thing is my own set of health questions. Have you ever had any strokes or heart attacks? Cancer, kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, COPD. Do you use any inhalers? Have you ever had any neuromuscular disease such as multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, or Alzheimer's? So that's my base set of questions to know where I'm heading. The next thing I ask is, do you have a list of your medications I can look at or the bottles? I just need to see the names and dosages real quick. As most of you know, the medications are just as important as asking the health questions are. So we want to get those out on the table as soon as possible, because no matter what they say of what they do have or don't have or aren't treated for, the medications tell the true story. So they can say I don't have COPD all they want, and they show you Spiriva, Dulera inhaler, or whatever it is. Well, okay, your medications indicate otherwise. And that is also something that I'll make sure that when I ask those general health questions, you know, any emphysema or COPD, I actually say, do you use any inhalers? If you don't ask that specifically, that's a lot of times what's going to be left out. So, you know, the inhalers are kept next to the bed, but the pills are kept in the cabinet next to the sink. So when they go get you their prescriptions, they're not thinking about getting you your inhalers. And so if you don't ask about those specifically, you're going to a lot of times run into problems with the underwriting side because they simply didn't think about bringing that. So ask for meds, ask for inhalers specifically. Once we've done that, that gives me a pretty good idea of where they're going to qualify at. If I still don't know exactly, but I'm thinking, okay, I think I can write Royal Neighbors in this situation. Well, then at that point, I'll get the Royal Neighbors application out and ask those actual health questions on there. Or the Security National Life app, or, you know, whatever direction I'm thinking, I'll ask those to make sure we can qualify. At that point, I'll just, you know, usually congratulate them, say, geez, I mean, it looks like you're in excellent health. You know, that's awesome. You can actually qualify for a preferred program or the best program. What that means for you, number one, that means you get the best rate that is available. Number two, that means you qualify for a full and immediate benefit. So, what I mean by that is there's no waiting periods. So you've probably seen programs out there that make you wait 2 years or 3 years or whatever it is before you're actually covered. Well, this is going to cover you for the full benefit from day one. So say you set up a $10,000 benefit, and God forbid you pass next month, it's going to pay the full $10,000 out to Mary, even though you've only made one payment on it. Okay? A few other things that are important about this. Number one, whatever monthly payment you set up, that's locked in. So it's not something that's going to get more expensive every year, every 5 years as you get older. You set it up from day one, you know it stays in the budget, and it's going to stay there. Okay? It's not like the programs you've seen that start out nice and cheap, but then every year, every 5 years, they go up and up, and pretty soon you have to drop them because you can't afford them. This is going to stay right where it's at. Number two, whatever benefit you set up, that's good no matter what age you live to. So if you set up 10,000, it doesn't matter if you pass away next year at 71 or you live to be 101. It's going to be that full 10,000 no matter what age you live to. So it doesn't go down when you turn 75. It doesn't kick you out when you turn 80. It's truly what you see is what you get. Everything's in writing that it's not going to change on you. And the last guarantee is it doesn't matter how you pass away, whether it's accidental causes or natural causes, it's going to pay the full benefit either way. The next thing I let them know, you know, those three guarantees that I just mentioned to you, that's what puts you in control of this program. So you can make changes to it whenever you want, but it's in writing that the company can't make any changes on it to you. After that, I usually don't get into much as far as fraternal benefits, as far as cash value, as far as accelerated death benefits or anything like that. I can when the situation, I think, calls for it. Somebody asks about it, we'll definitely get into it. If I am sitting down with, say, a younger couple that's much more inquisitive and wants to know much more details, then I will take my time and slow down and get into more of that. But I've found in general, and you can get a feel for it too when you're in front of somebody, in general, they don't want to know about all that. They want to know, how much coverage can I get? What's it going to cost me? Most of the clients you visit with, that's the details. And some of the clients, it's not even how much coverage can I get. It's what's it going to cost me? It's real similar. I mean, the same clientele that, you know, when they walk into a car lot to buy a car, they don't want to know what the finance charge is. They don't want to know even what the purchase price is or what's it going to end up costing them. How much are the payments? And like I said, I mean, there's a lot of people, that's all that they want to know. And I always want to give them more information on than that, but the actual fine details, too much information can definitely be an issue. Again, I'll pause and take a break. We're running up on an hour on this call, but I don't want to rush through stuff either. So does anybody have any specific questions about anything that we talked about there? Okay, the next point I'm at right there is I just let them know, you know, and I've probably told them this earlier in the meeting, but, you know, listen, you know, we actually have access to all the companies that do business in the state of Missouri. So essentially what we're able to do is take your individual health profile, shop it around, and see who's going to give you the best rate. So we actually do the shopping on this for you. So if you'll give me just a second here, I'll see which of our carriers will give you the best rate. And then I can figure up a rate for you. So at that point, you know, I usually know who I'm going to write at that point, but I'll take a glance at just a rate comparison to make sure of what I'm thinking carrier-wise is competitive, that it's ballpark with where we want to go with it. I say, all right, Mary, you know, I figured up three different levels here for you. I figured up 15,000, 12,000, and 10,000. If you do 15,000, you know, it's $124 a month. You do 10, yada, 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 yada. Now, Mary, I kind of need your help here at this point. So you let me know which one of those works best for you. That's my first attempt at a close right there. It's very soft and as non-confrontational as can be. You let me know which one works best for you. And in a perfect world, they're going to say, well, let's go ahead and do the 12,000. Okay. And then in a realistic world, that's where, you know, if there's any objections present, that's where they're going to start to come up. And we talked about objections some earlier. I don't know if there's any other specific objections that people want to throw out there, but we can definitely attack those if you'd like to. Okay. We can even look at spending more time on objections in a future conference call. That way people can ask exactly what it is that they're struggling with or objections that they want to attack. I will start to wrap our call up, though, just because I don't want to hold you guys longer than an hour, since that's what we've all agreed upon. A few things I'd like to throw out before we get off, and I should have all got an email on it, but their AmeriCo has a pretty awesome incentive out right now on all of their final expense products, whether it's Eagle or Ultra Protector, $50 an app, another $500 every 10th app. So pretty much equates to a $100 bonus for everything you throw in. That runs through the first quarter, so anything that's issued and paid by the end of March. If you actually do the math on that and divide it out based on what our average annual premium is, it pretty much amounts to about a 15% commission bonus for the next 3 months. So that and the fact that the Eagle pays a 10% bonus on over and above what you get on Ultra Protector anyway, that those Eagle products are paying pretty well for the next 3 months. So something you can take advantage of. Security National Life also has a fast start bonus going on right now that you can earn up to, I think that's on that, $750 over the next month based on production. And then just also like to remind you about the Paysetter lead co-op, so you can get just discounts per lead based on the previous month's production. That flyer's up on our website. For some of you new guys that are on here, if you haven't already, get on our training site and make sure you get our field underwriting guide downloaded, which lists health conditions and how each carrier treats those. That can be a big help to you when you're deciding where to place a client at. Also on our training site, all of our past calls are on there, scripts for appointment setting, sales presentation, in our final expense training manual, which is much more in depth than what I've gone over today. But you can get all that on our training site. So you can click through it from the main homepage. The password is agent-training to get into the training materials. So other than that, I'll wrap things up. If anybody has any questions or concerns, you can give me a holler, shoot me an email at any time. If you need anything else support wise, Jerry, Lisa, Darcy, everybody else at the home office is there to help you out with that too. So, other than that, I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk with you next week.